I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm thinking about this here from a Rams situation. Like, that's got to be over now, right? Like, there, I don't want to say there's no going back from this, but if I'm Matthew Stafford,
relationship,
yeah, you're already
probably,
like, bro, you already in no certain way said we don't really want you. You can leave.
Well,
you can leave. Not we're not going to restructure and we're going to keep you here, or you know, we want you here. Let's work something out. It was like, nah, we're not restructuring. Go. We're cool. If you found a trade, like, we're cool getting rid of you.
Well, okay. So maybe it's the tone of voice in which we use. Because I'll say everything you just said, I'll say it differently. Uh-huh. Matt, I know you want to restructure. Like, you're going to be 38 years old when this season is over. Mm. It's a $50 million cap hit for us. Like, if you want to move on, like, we'll give you the ability. If that deal is out there for you, we won't stand in the way of it. We'll give you the ability to go take it. Mm-hmm. If you'll play for the $25 million this year, we feel like we can make another run, just like we did last year with you. But I understand you got to worry about your long-term future. So if that deal is there for you, we won't stand in the way of it. But the way our team is structured right now, we can't give you that deal you're looking for.
That's very nice of you. Very, very nice of you.
So in my opinion, when it's phrased that way,
yeah,
you go out there and I think the deal is there for him, especially when you talk about those, you know, just those obvious teams that we just named. Mm-hmm. I think a 2 to 3 year deal for him at 100 and, you know, it might be a DeRozan type deal where the first two years are very real and the third year is, you know, it's fake football money. But now you're talking about 39. To me, like, you're year to year at 39. I feel like you should be year to year at 37.
Yeah.
But I feel like the deal is there for them. But if it's not, the point I was trying to make in this long-winded way was, no, I don't think it's over. Again, it depends on what the conversation sounds like. Mm-hmm. You come back, the deal's not there for you. Bro, we got you. We have a team constructed that we think could just bounce right back. You know, we want to make a few adjustments. Maybe we could compete, you know, and represent the NFC. But we think we have a team with a stronger start. We'll be better next year. Mm-hmm. You're a big part of that. I just think it all depends on how the conversation went. Because if it went the way that you went, no, there's no coming back from that.
Yeah, I mean, it probably went more so like how you said it, too. That's what I think happened.
It could have also gone, look, Matt, we're kind of tearing this thing down. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even make sense for you to play for $25 million next year, especially if there's a deal for $50 million plus out there for you.
Yeah.
And that might be something that the Rams are looking to do, because I thought they were done last year. Like, going into last year, I was like, even into the season, I was like, this team's not good.
Right.
I was obviously wrong, so I'm not going to make that proclamation on them again. So I'm out of the Rams. I'm out of the Rams.
I'm going to keep hoping.
Well, I'm sure you are. Yeah, I'm sure you are.
I'm definitely going to keep hoping.
I think it's an interesting story because again, I thought he was 36. I don't know why that 37 is just throwing me so much. And he did just turn 37. He turned 37 this month. I don't know. This feels like a big deal. Matt Stafford on the Steelers feels like it could be a big deal. Matt Stafford on the Browns feels like it could matter.
Create a championship contender. You think he has that type of pool?
Yeah, not with the Giants, not with the Raiders.
Well, it's really just one team, huh? Just the Steelers.
Maybe with the Steelers. Huh. The Browns, I don't know.
The Steelers,
I thought the Browns were. I mean, the Browns, they have their own issue they got to deal with.
I feel like I had a thought in my head, but I don't know.
You're probably going to crap on Russell Wilson. It's okay.
No. I mean, Russ is, you know, pretty much finished right now, but him and Sierra wrote a children's book that I want to get for Ryan. So there's that. I thought you were going to say you probably want to crap on Mike Tomlin, which is what I'm not trying to do.
You know how much you hate black coaches.
But are the Steelers a rich man's version of what the Kings are right now? And what I mean by that is, like, they're not winning a Super Bowl with what they have.
You said like 2 months ago that this was
I was dead wrong. Can't
argue that.
The way they collapsed when they went against a better team.
You thought that was a Super Bowl contender? You thought the defense was good enough to win a Super Bowl?
I did. And they fell apart. They folded like a deck of cards. Like, to the point where it's like, oh, I was wrong. They clearly...
House of Cards?
Deck of cards fold? I don't know. I don't know,
sometimes,
man.
Sometimes you say stuff and it just makes me think. Like, deck of cards?
But, like, and they've been like that. They've been like that for years now. And the NFL's different than the NBA. But
so
they feel like they're far away from...
Acquiring Russell Wilson is like going to get DeMar DeRozan.
Could be. But they feel far away from Buffalo, Baltimore, and Kansas City.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. For sure.
You know, and...
They don't even feel like they're as good as Cincinnati is.
If the Steelers left Lance Stafford?
You weren't here when I asked. Yeah. I said, are the... But they're not
Jesse
as like...
just walked into a conversation, and the look on his face is confused. Like, wait, what the hell? Steelers landed, he asked if the Steelers were the rich man's version of the Kings.
Oh, no, I think if they were to land Stafford, they're more legit.
You think they're better than Baltimore?
I think they're on par.
Baltimore?
Yeah, like the Steelers defense was Super Bowl. Like, that's a really good defense.
They got lit up. We were just having this conversation. I was a believer in them throughout a lot of the year. And then towards the end of the year, that defense just got destroyed.
Could it be they ran out of gas because your quarterbacks weren't good enough all year and you were kind of just holding it down till?
It could be.
Maybe.
It could be. No, maybe, it could be. That's perfectly fair.
Maybe or you just...
We've seen that before.
I mean, Russell Wilson had a string of, what, like three games?
Russ was good, and it's like, oh my gosh, he still sucks. Like, let's keep it real. Like, it was really bad at the end.
Yeah. He needs to retire, doesn't he?
It's about that time.
Well, that's tough too.
Or you could be Jimmy G if you want.
But the
I won't say they're, but they'd be better than Buffalo. But I could see them winning the division. I could see them being better than
Russell
Baltimore.
36.
Like, Stafford is still really good, and you throw him with Tomlin. If we still believe in Tomlin and all that, like, that'll be a good team.
Well, so, I think that was the crux of his whole conversation was Mike Tomlin sucks.
That is not the crux of my conversation, ever. But the crux of this thing back. Of this thing with Pittsburgh is. They lost the last four games of the season. It was when they had to play them teams. And they clearly weren't on that level. They got beat by Philly. Okay. They got beat by Baltimore.
Okay.
They got beat by Kansas City. And they got beat by Cincinnati.
That was their last four games of the season?
Yeah.
I'm going to throw a lot of that.
And none of them were close. They were all two-score losses.
I'm going to throw a lot of that on Russ, too, though. Russ was really bad to end the season.
He was, but they gave up 29, 34, 29, and then 19. Like, I started by saying I was wrong about the Steelers. I thought they could, but I was wrong. Like, they clearly weren't in the class of those teams. And then you've got other teams that around that are getting better. Like, you look at, maybe the Chargers end up getting better. Denver. Like, who you think right now, say even if they got Stafford, right now, who you think is in a better place, Denver or Pittsburgh?
Denver.
Yeah.
So
but within that division,
so
though,
that's what I said. I don't know if they're like unbelievably desolate, like people think the Kings are.
Yeah,
but that's why I say a rich man's version of the Kings.
People think the Kings are bad.
People
think they're
mad about the Kings.
If
I'm people not, be talking like, bad
with the Kings,
about
with the Kings, I don't see a future at all. With the Steelers and Stafford, I could see a run to the AFC Championship. Maybe farther if you get to the AFC Championship, you get to the Super Bowl. But like, I could see a future.
I don't think I see that either.
I don't think I see that
with the Steelers.
Yeah, I think what's I
it
think
could be Philly.
What
Rams
he's
defense
saying,
is pretty
he's,
good, though.
He's saying if you have Stafford.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the Rams defense wasn't no slouch. And they couldn't.
Oh, you're saying the Rams couldn't beat
them? Yeah, with Stafford, they couldn't beat them. And who did they lose to also Detroit last year?
Different teams and all that. I think the Steelers could be successful.
Two top flight weapons at wide receiver. You won't have that in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. I still believe in George Pickens. And like I said, like they were still going for Brandon Ayuk last year. They were looking to add, but I'll leave you at Stafford. Like you're not the Kings. I'll say that. You're not the Kings.
I just realized it would be hilarious if the Raiders did sign Matt Stafford. Because your offseason will have consisted of signing a 37-year-old quarterback for good money and an 80-year-old coach.
Raiders would have been good in 2012. Boy,
they really do go to Nevada to retire, man. Jesus Christ.
They would have been cooking in 2015.
I completely forgot. And like live on the air, like the Steve Smith saga, I just realized Pete Carroll is the Raiders head coach.
Now. If you're a Pittsburgh, you go for that. Like, yeah, hell yeah, I'm gonna try and get Stafford, and we're gonna try and get it done. But I don't see Pittsburgh being on that next tier of AFC teams.
I'm not saying they'd win a Super Bowl, but if it's like, would they be the Kings? I'd say no.
Well, that's the reason why I say rich man is that's the equivalent of being a ceiling of a second round team.
Well, I can see that. I can see the AFC champ. Yeah, it's a higher ceiling than that, but
it's just like, oh, okay. Is Stafford still good? But I don't know if you guys got enough.
Okay.
But once again, I would try to do that if I was Pittsburgh. Why not?
Well, it's an upgrade.
Yeah.
Like, it might not be your long-term answer, but it's an upgrade.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not the move for the Raiders, and I think Jesse laid out perfectly why. Like, the talent's not there, and you need to use your draft picks, I think, this year in the hopes of this is the last time you're drafting this high to start to build out your future.
Yeah.
Which won't involve Pete Carroll, because when these players start to develop, Pete Carroll really will be like 81 years old.
Oh, well, it'll be Chip Kelly's team.
Well, they can run for president.
I just saw a tweet saying that the Cowboys expect Trey Lance to depart this offseason.
Yeah, I was actually going to mention that. Stephen Jones said over the weekend that the Cowboys will look for a quarterback in the upcoming draft, with the belief that both Trey Lance and Cooper Rush are likely done there.
Mm.
Cooper Rush, they don't necessarily want to use, but they'll believe he'll be too expensive to keep. And Steven, in perhaps a moment of too honest, says, yeah, we're just going to have to go cheap at that position.
Mm.
So I don't know what Trey Lance could possibly cost you. So that leads me to believe they're just ready to move on from Trey Lance. They don't really want to move on for Cooper Rush. And they've just decided they're going to have their backup quarterback come from the draft this year.
That's the question, I think, like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, maybe. Is Trey Lance's next star in the NFL or the XFL?
Whatever. It's not the NFL.
Whatever league the Brock is doing right now.
Trey Lance. He's in the Rock's league now.
And
the Rock took Trey Lance's soul.
In all seriousness, the Raiders should give him a look.
No, they shouldn't.
Yeah, I'm out on Trey Lance. It's
why?
Done.
Why it's not? It's going to be a free look.
Kenny, it's over.
Yeah.
It's over.
It's done. Stop. It's over. No, don't even, even let you entertain it. It's over.
So,
Dallas. Lance, he was supposed to work in Dallas.
It's gone the way of flip side. It's over, man.
Couldn't beat out Cooper Rush.
Bring the jersey in tomorrow. We'll go downstairs and burn it.
Yeah, let's get one of those.
It's over.
Buyback.
We'll find one of these little suites they're doing construction on, and we'll bury it there.
The funny thing is, I haven't bought Kenny a present since. I've been so pissed off about that stupid-ass jersey. Our first Christmas together, I'm going to get Kenny this jersey. I haven't bought the man anything since.
Well, the only thing that I would say
is... You can run my scout team.
The only thing that I would say is, how do we... We haven't seen him play.
Yes, we have.
But
the
that's
Cowboys
the thing.
Have.
He hasn't played in years. Kenny, it's over.
No, if he was good enough to be on the field, the Cowboys would have played him. He couldn't beat out Cooper Rush. The Cowboys saw him at practice every day. If he was good enough to be an NFL player on the field, he would have played for the Cowboys.
We can't necessarily say that.
He couldn't beat Cooper Rush.
I think you're right, but we can't always say that. Like, with Josh Dobbs was better than old boy, right?
They were trying to hand him that job. Let him play all the quarters in the priest. They were trying to hand him that job, but he couldn't take it. He said, I don't want it. He's not good.
Who's old boy?
What's Niners backup? I'm drawing a blank.
Brandon Allen.
Oh, yeah.
We all thought Josh Dobbs was better than him, but Kyle was like, no, this is my number two. Maybe McCarthy was that way.
Did
Kenny is now into unethical quarterback.
I'm not even saying Raiders get him to be your starter, but bring in Trey Lance. Why not?
I'm not even saying
it just feels like it's over.
Would you be comfortable with Trey Lance being your back?
Hi, everybody. I'm Maury Povich. On my podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, I'm going to sit down with the icons, the stars, and the faces at the very center of today's big cultural moments. With everyone from comedians Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, Leanne Morgan, to newsmakers Don Lemon, Joy Reid, Aaron Parnas, and so many more. So join me for new episodes every week, because nothing is off limits. Great conversations. They're always on par. Follow and listen to On Par with Maury Povich wherever you get your podcasts.
Back up.
Like, when was the last time the man played football?
This
before we had to put masks on.
That's well, the shoot, right?
Well, it was after that, but
are we sure?
Yeah.
Where he was playing?
Yeah, he was the starter, what, 2 years ago?
Weren't we at home when the story broke?
He was the starter 2 years ago when he broke his ankle.
That's right.
Jimmy Garoppolo was in there with empty.
I completely forgot that.
Jimmy G was at the empty stadium.
I completely forgot that he actually started football.
When Kyle Shanahan tried to have him killed. I can't believe some of y'all said that.
TC.
Oh, there were people. It wasn't just TC.
Nah, people believe
there was people we loved.
That was a real take.
That said, Kyle.
He's trying to get him injured. All right, bro.
like Kyle Shanahan just committed some like high level insurance fraud. We got to go to commercial. Jesus Christ, we've been making fun of Trey Lance for too long. We'll come back. I don't know that we solved anything, so I guess this just might be a running conversation all week. I want to talk about Del Mas a little bit. Markelle Fultz, James Hamm at the top of the hour. D'Lo and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. D'Lo and KC brought to you by Sky River Casino, where the Humidor is celebrating 1 year in business. One of my favorite spots in and around the city to hang out. Humidor Whiskey and Cigar Lounge there inside Sky River Casino. Get in on the action. Sky River Casino is the place to play, and it's the place to eat. SR Prime. You talk about fine steakhouses. SR Prime is a fine steakhouse. You talk about great places to eat. The Dragon Bowl, fantastic. Chinese food there. Go check it out again inside Sky River Casino. The place to play with over 2,100 of the newest slot machines and over 80 table games. Sky is the limit at Sky River Casino. The question is Sky the limit for Domantas Sabonis? Because right now the answer is a resounding no. My man is frustrating the hell out of me. I've always asked more from Domas, and I thought we got it this year. Mm. Not a lot more in terms of shot attempts. He's just never going to do that. Like, he's always going to play, like, within himself. And I think sometimes when you start getting into 16, 17 shot attempts, you're probably maybe taking a few ill-advised shots, or maybe you're forcing a couple of shots up or doing a couple of heat checks. Like, I don't think I've ever seen Domas take a heat check. However, since January 30th, he hasn't accelerated. He's decelerated. He's slowed down. He's pulled back a little bit. He's averaging two less shots and three less points than he's doing on the season in that time frame. And that, you know, that time frame now, it's about, you know, about three week time frame, approaching 4 weeks here. And 14 and 9, like, I don't care how close that is to it. That was terrible.
He's got to stop letting others dictate his game.
He had 22 and 28 against New Orleans in the loss. Man had 28 rebounds and we lost. And like sometimes, like I maybe it's the way that he plays. Maybe it's his position on the court. Maybe it's the way that the Kings play with him. I don't feel like DeMar against Dallas, right, was whoa. Malik in that overtime was whoa. Has Domas ever had a whoa moment?
No.
Like a stretch? Like, again, because that 8 points, like, Malik was not good against Dallas. But when they needed him to be, he got those 8 points after DeMar had done everything he could get this team into overtime. He scored the first 8 points in that OT, in that 5 minute stretch. Has Domas ever had anything like that as a King?
I don't know if you call it a moment, but like those nights where he does grab 20 or some rebounds, like that's kind of that. Like where he's putting up 20
28.
I know, but that's not his fault why they lost. Like, what more is the guy supposed to do at that point?
Rebounding wise, yes, he has moments like that because he's an elite rebounder. An elite rebounder. When you talk about taking over games on the offensive end and scoring, no, he hasn't had that because he's not that type of individual. He doesn't have that type of offensive skill level to be able to do that.
Yeah, I don't think his game is like built for something like that. Yeah. But like when he does go 20-20 or 20-15, whatever you want to call it, like I think that's kind of like his signature thing. Because he was like all season up until that stretch that you brought up. Like,
but is it memorable? Like, do you remember his 20-20 games, his 30-20 games?
Not off the top of my head. Like, not like specifics about.
But you remember DeMar's 40.
Mm-hmm.
You remember Keegan's 36?
37, I think.
37?
Or Keegan's, he scored 40, didn't he?
Did Keegan score 40?
Like last year.
Oh.
Wasn't it 47?
Oh, yeah. Okay, I think he peaked at 22 this year.
When did he have 30-something this year?
He didn't.
That's what I'm saying. I'm thinking you're talking about the 47-point game. Or he had 32, I think, in that play-in game against the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
He scored really well. But, yeah, I mean, I remember that game. I remember Keegan with the game against
you remember Giants. Malik.
I remember Malik.
Like nine different Malik moments.
Mm-hmm.
That's like DeMar, not... like and maybe – DeMar. Domar, maybe it's just the style in which it's done.
Well, I think that's it, too, because it's like if you were to ask the lazy Miami Heat, I guess, unfree agent fan or whatever, like, how many moments has Bam Adebayo had? I wanted to call him Miami Heat fan, but he's not that.
No, he's just a random shot at Leazy.
Back in his past fan life.
Leazy coming in on Friday, going to come see Jesse.
If you ask him, like, how many moments did Bam Adebayo have or whatever, like, there's probably not much, but, like, he still has an impact. Like, the only people at that position, I think, who are going to have moments, like Embiid or Jokic, I guess.
And Sabonis.
AD had moments.
Yeah.
Yeah, AD's kind of different, though, I guess. Like, he doesn't play the same way.
It's fair.
And Sabonis, fair. Sabonis had impacts.
He
had those games where he had impact. But as far as, like, being able to take the game over with offense, that's – at least he hasn't shown that he has that ability to, number one, like, have the bag to be able to do that or the aggressiveness to be able to do that on the offensive end. Like, he's constantly looking for the next pass, you know, to set other guys up. And that's what we love about him. But, I mean, there's plenty of times when he could, 17 feet away, just take the 17-foot pull-up. And he won't. He'll wait for the traffic to keep going so he can dribble handoff or look for a backdoor pass. That's just – he's a table setter in that respect.
What tier center is he at his position?
I feel like he's top.
See, I don't think
like,
so
Jokic is like by himself, right?
Well, yeah, Jokic by himself? Embiid, when he was healthy at one point in his career,
that's
was a
never
part of
gonna
that.
Happen again.
Well, yeah, I'm saying like at one point
they're
when he
almost
was.
Certainly gonna announce he's out for the year tomorrow.
And then I guess not time to put Wemby in there yet.
AD's up there.
Okay, yeah, AD's up there.
I would you put Bam in there?
No.
I'm talking like the elite of the elite.
No, I wouldn't put him in there, and I think Sabonis is better than Bam.
Okay, that's where I guess I could not even really.
Or they're on the same tier.
The same tier to me.
They're the same
My
tier.
My point is, like, I don't think Domas, like, we've talked about him for a few years, like, as if he's this tier one type, and I don't think he is.
If he's not a tier one type, then only Jokic and ADR.
That's fine now since Embiid's out of there.
Yeah, Embiid's not in the conversation.
And like, even if Embiid was there, like, yeah, top. Those
an MVP, like
yeah,
he literally won
like,
MVP.
Yeah, that's fine. But I think the next tier that you talk about is probably a Sabonis, Bam. I think Sengun has probably made his way into that this year. Somebody talking about Cat. I think Cat's on that level as well. I think those
on what level?
On Sabonis' level.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think those guys are all on their same tier. Where you can argue for each of those guys to be like better than the rest. Like you have an argument for all of them.
Scooter asks, why isn't he top tier though when he has stats right up there, those guys? He doesn't impact the game the way those guys do.
You don't like with Jokic. And Anthony, and it frustrates me to say this about Anthony Davis, but with Jokic, Anthony Davis, and
Embiid at one point.
Joel Embiid in one piece. When you need to win the game,
yeah,
you can go to any of those guys.
Yes.
I don't know that Doug or Mike or any coach in history has ever like, all right,
take us home
for a second. Right.
Take us home.
And I don't know. Again, that's what I can't. I don't know if it's the mentality, the approach, the coach, the game. I don't know what it is, but that was going to De'Aaron. Now it's going to DeMar. It's going to Malik. He's at best third on the list. He might be fourth.
It's one of those things where, you know, this whole thing, man, of the Kings and what they were trying to build or whatever, they had two guys that they were trying to cast as franchise guys that for a high-level team, championship-contending team, just weren't that. I thought they were. You know, I thought you could have Fox Sabonis be your 1 and 1A or whatever and be a championship-level team. Stepping back away from it, seeing them not here, seeing them in different situations, they're just not.
They're the best probably number twos or number – I'll say they're probably the best number twos and number threes you could ask for, but they're not ones.
Yeah, I don't even know if because of the way Sabonis plays, he could be your second best player.
Mm.
And that's not a knock. I love watching him. I want him on the team. But
I think I could steal the old Kyle Mattson.
You're on the same page as me.
He could be your second best player, but he can't be your second best scorer.
Okay.
Because we talked about that. The Kings need another guy who can get their own bucket in the playoffs or whatever. Because Malik and Fox, like, if one of those guys is down, then you're kind of cooked. Like, you were just looking for someone who can create their own shot.
You're not feeling that.
I'm just trying to process it because we're talking about, in this case, the things that maybe he doesn't do. If he's not your second best scorer.
Well.
And he's not the best guy on defense. He's not a rim protector. What is he really?
14 rebounds and 10 assists. Like, I'm not going to diminish that. That's
not
a big deal.
Not at all.
And that's the problem is that's usually going with 14 points or 16 points or like that's what it's been lately. Like I think he's averaging 20 on the year and he needs to stay at that 20 average. He can't drop below that. While they're trying to figure this thing out with DeMar, the problem is, and maybe like this all looks so different because De'Aaron's gone, mm-hmm. and like De'Aaron could frustrate the hell out of me, but like I looked up, you know, we were talking about the seven games when Doug took over, you know, he missed, you know, three of those seven, came back, he scored like 30 something, mm-hmm. and then 28. Like his numbers were consistently there, regardless of we feel like maybe he would, you know, disappear for stretches or maybe he's not the dog, maybe he's not the what, but he was clearly the number one scorer. Mm-hmm. I don't know that the Kings clearly have a number one scorer anymore. I think it's DeMar, but the way DeMar plays and goes about getting his baskets and the way that De'Aaron plays and goes about getting his baskets was different. Mm-hmm. That seems to be affecting Domantas Sabonis. Mm. Could be wrong. Mm. Of course, you turn the ball over 30 times a game. That's going to affect your ability to get points.
Got to take care of the rock, first and foremost. Mm. But
I swear it feels like Domas had 50 turnovers the other night. How many did he have? He probably had like, okay, he had four. We just kept running one over and over and over again on Sports Sunday. It was driving me crazy.
Who had, what were the turnovers numbers in general, like to get to 24, like who was?
Domas had four. Levine had five. Mm. Malik, Laravia, Trey Lyles had two. Not discussed. Markel had three in his 9 minutes.
Mm. Mm.
Of course, they were down 20. And he just came in. I mean, I don't even fault Mark. He came in trying to make an impact.
Yeah. And I thought he played well, too.
I do. But, you know, three turnovers in 9 minutes for the guy who was playing your point guard position. That's tough.
Markel came
also playing for the first time since May. So I'm going to cut him a little slack.
Markel came in, had a dunk, and I had a little big league moment. Like, see, look at it. You can play point guard. He was kind of dishing the ball out a little bit. Like, see?
But that's not a little big league moment. That's like, okay, we haven't seen him in a while.
Right.
Remember, he was playing well last year. So it's like, hey, that's cool. Good.
I think it's more so, hey, maybe Markelle Fultz can fix some things around.
Okay,
here.
Now that,
Yeah, that was more my mind.
Our
guy Jay Dill, he talks about, you know, D'Lo and KC literally used to complain about where Fox and Domas ranked when they were top 25. And
First of all, Jay Dill, shut up.
Well, number one, we've said a number of different times, you're probably wrong about them as franchise number ones. Number two, there aren't 25 number one franchise guys. So, like, if we're saying, like, yo, they should be top 20 and somebody has them at 27, we think they're a top 20 player in this league. That doesn't mean that they're franchise and they should be leading people to championships. There's two different conversations there. So,
I'm convinced is a perfectly fair thing to do in those lists that Jay Dill's talking about, putting Tyrese and De'Aaron right next to each other. I'm starting to feel like they're the same player. I do not think Tyrese is a clear one. Maybe he's a better type of leader than De'Aaron is, but in terms of his game on the floor, like,
oh, no.
Is he taking over? Like, I mean, the Pacers won series last year.
Right.
Did Tyrese take over any of them?
Nah, Nimhart was out there doing the same. That's not to slight Tyrese because he had some good games. He had a great game seven against the Knicks. Like, he had those moments. But to your point, if he's your best player, like,
they both frustrate the hell out of me. I'll say that.
Yeah, and if he's the best player on your team, you got the same ceiling as a De'Aaron Fox. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not going to be a championship-level team. Mm-hmm. With him, you can win games, you can get to the playoffs, you can win a series in the playoffs. But, like I said, those guys that we look at are saying, yo, number one, number one, number one, there's like 10 of them.
Yeah, there really aren't very many.
There's not a lot of them that...
I don't think Cade was a number one before this year. Now, he hadn't become one. Now, clear, like, next generation of, like, this is the league stars group.
Now, and perfect example, like...
Paolo need to stop showing up on Legends, though. Like, every 5 minutes, there's an alert from
Paolo
Legends.
Paolo be talking
that says,
crazy to these boys, man. He be talking crazy.
We got the audio of Paolo Banchero. Like, oh, my God.
He talking crazy to these boys.
Or they talk crazy to him.
Yeah, and he don't back down. But, yeah, like, you look at a guy, like, when all the trade discussion was going down, and I say Jalen Green. I don't think Jalen Green is a one championship type guy, but I think he's a guy that you get and you try to, you know, see what he can bring to your table and see if you can find another guy or a combination of guys like that, and you can be a successful team. Will you be a championship team? I wouldn't put my money on that. But yeah, there's certain levels to this whole franchise player and number one type player. People asking in here, is John Morant a number one?
I think Aldrin asked that.
Yeah, and comment on that. John Morant, I've starting to warm up. We talked about it before. I'm warming up to Ja a little bit this year. Mm-hmm. I like
me too.
I like damn near everything I've seen from Ja this year. And his numbers are down. He hasn't played that much. He's not going to be eligible for any of the postseason awards. Mm-hmm. But his impact on that locker room and on that team is something that I'm really rocking with.
He's a number one for me.
Yeah, me too.
Ja's a number
one.
No
question, by the way.
The impact he had on I don't think Kenny believes it, but the impact that he had on Memphis, to me, that's a big deal. Because Marcus has been, because he's there, though. Like, you know, like, he's around. Like, Marcus has been in and out of the lineup. It's not on Marcus. Marcus isn't even on the Memphis anymore.
It's with Washington now.
Yeah, like, there's, you know, there are things that you can point to this year that go, man, Ja's impact is, like, you point to it last year in the handful of games that he's played. Like, that's it's not just, you know, leading isn't about what you do. Leading is about what everybody else does.
Right.
And if they, and I think that's one of the, no one was following De'Aaron. I don't know that people follow Tyrese. I feel like they follow Ja.
What about this one? Donovan Mitchell's a one?
Donovan Mitchell's it all comes back to, like,
24
which
points per game.
It's like definitively.
It all comes back to what you think a number one is for me. And there's no, I don't think there's a right answer. It's personal preference. for me, a number one is the best player on a championship team. And he's all-encompassing. Ja Morant, do you think if he's the best player on that team, they're winning a championship? Or do you maybe
like if he's the best? I don't want to manipulate what you said. Can he be the best player on a championship team, not necessarily this Memphis Grizzlies team? Yes, I think he can.
Yeah,
I think he can.
Yeah,
I don't know if he can, and it goes back to what I talked about with De'Aaron and all stuff about a point guard. You know how good a point guard has to be the best player on the team and they win a championship? Mm-hmm. It don't happen. It's Isaiah, Steph, and Magic was 6'9". But
so
Isaiah,
basically,
Steph,
you can't be a one unless you're a
you
three.
You got to be no, you can't. You have to be unbelievably good as a one to be the best player.
So Donovan ain't it.
Donovan's not a one, though. He's a two guard.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. You're interchanging your use of one. When you said one,
I
thought you meant
Donovan
the number
is. I think Donovan, I think he is a one. I think
a number one player.
A number one player.
Okay.
Yes. I think you can win a championship with Donovan Mitchell.
And you don't
as
think
Ja
is a number one player.
There's part of me, and I always felt this way with De'Aaron Fox. Well, more so when he was like drafted. De'Aaron was going to be special. He was going to change stuff for you, but you needed somebody better on that team to ascend. And it ended up kind of being true. Like that's what De'Aaron is the situation he's in right now. He's great. He's an all-star level guard, but he's got somebody better there, and that's why they're a championship level team when they're all healthy and maybe in a year or two. Donovan, I think, can be that guy. There's not a lot of them. There's like we go down
it's
that
like
list.
Steph and Isaiah.
Yeah, at the point guard position.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like it.
Exactly. Exactly. As much as I love Dame Lillard, they couldn't win a championship. As good as – you know how good I think Dame is. They couldn't be a championship contender with Dame Lillard. That's how special you have to be at the point guard position to be the best player on the team.
Iverson was not a point guard?
He wasn't, and they weren't – they had the 1 year where they got to the finals. I wouldn't consider them like championship contenders. And that's my team. I watch them all the time. I love Allen Iverson. They were never going to be the Lakers. And then once, you know, New Jersey started doing their thing, like they couldn't beat those teams in a 7-game series. They got crazy one season.
You just heard it here, folks. Point guards are the new running backs. To hell with them. Throw them in the trash. Not going to win with them.
No, point guards, when you have a point guard, you got to go find somebody else that might be better.
Kyrie can't be the best player on a championship team.
I don't think so. And it's kind of tough to say because at this point in his career, I don't think so. Maybe if he was the best player on Cleveland.
Well, yeah, at this point.
You know, when he was 27 years old, maybe so, because I think he's that good. Mm-hmm. I think he's that talented. Russ is another example. When Russ was the best player, their ceiling was the sixth seed.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a feeling that I have about the way I look at it. Like, it's very difficult for the point guard, because you can kind of take them out of things, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can double them or put a taller guy on them. Defensively, they may not have the same impact because they gotta carry so much of the weight. So it's just really, really hard for the point guard to be the best.
Steven's right. I forgot Magic.
I put Magic in there.
Yeah, I said Isaiah and Steph in recent years. That's it. I forgot Magic is, in fact, a point guard. This is a 7-foot point guard, but he's a point guard, 7-foot-ish. How did this conversation start?
Because we were
bitching
about
Domas
Sabonis.
And yeah, somehow.
Well, because we were talking about.
Oh, Jay Dilla brought up the rankings, and then it kind of turned into something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take more shots, Domas. Like, don't fit in, fit out. Oh man!
Title that today's show.
Sit out.
Shoot your little 17-foot mid range, man. They're giving it to you. Knock it down, man. You know, take a two more threes a game.
Do the Kings need him to do that in order to be successful? I guess
it feels like they might. It feels like at this point they got to do what they need to do. Like, because there's an idea of how you should play, or they want to play, and all this other stuff. But right now, you gotta figure out, you know, what you got to do to win games. And being passive, whether it's Monk, Sabonis, or LaVine, being passive isn't working. Like, you got to be a little bit more aggressive. Maybe that's the thing,
too. Like, nobody since all these deals have been made is really just taking the reins here. Like, DeMar will go out, I think he got 40 once, but...
Oh, yeah, DeMar tried to, and people tell him to stop shooting.
Another thing.
They tell him, get the hell out of here. Bench his ass. He wins a game in Dallas. He tries to shoot the next day. Bench him.
You got to stop listening to Twitter, man.
It ain't Twitter.
It's a little funny every time DeMar goes for 30, and we start, bench DeMar.
It ain't Twitter. But he's the one guy that's been like, nah, man, like, I'm gonna do it. Like, let's... You know, I'm here, guys. Get on my back. And he misses some shots, and they say no. But
stop listening to James Hamm in Twitter.
But to that point, though, DeRozan or Levine, they can't be scared of that. They can't be scared of what anybody. And I don't think they are. I'm not saying they are. But, like, don't worry about that. You miss some shots.
I think you're half right. We'll talk about it.
Hmm.
I noticed your boy, man. All right, we'll talk about it. And we're going to do it before James gets here because I don't want to be piling on Zach LaVine here. And I don't want James to feel like he's got an ally in this conversation. So we're going to talk about it. Stilo and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Wow.
You should have just left that one alone, pal.
You really just trash Club Soda? Yes.
No, Club Soda, it's ridiculous.
It is fire.
No, it's not fire.
Man, you crazy. You two are hoes.
Club Soda is a waste of time.
I swear to God.
It is an absolute waste of time.
It's a little bubbly.
Never once in my life can I get a Club Soda, please.
Oh, you guys are jackasses. You guys suck.
What's the brand? It's like a blue, it's got a blue cover, right? Ain't that the brand? Or is it Canada Dry? Canada Dry made Club Soda, too?
I thought Canada Dry made ginger ale. Do they make soda?
I thought they made Club Soda, too. I could be wrong.
I don't know.
I just Canada Dry, pardon my back, every time I see it.
Get the soda stream, put the little bottle in there. Boom. Sometimes put a little flavor in it.
Oh.
Yo, you guys are whack, dude. Whatever.
Hey, you don't let us change how you go.
You won't. Bitch, don't you drink Dr. Pepper?
Yeah, that's...
You serious? You coming for me?
No.
You coming for me, and you drink Dr. Pepper.
Wait, hold on. You're just drinking Club Soda, like, by itself?
Yes.
All right.
Canada Dry does make Club Soda, by the way.
You're out here drinking Mr. Pip. Get out of my
face. You're throwing a 12-pack of Club Soda on the grocery list?
Mr.
I just told you what I do. I take the water bottle, I put it in the soda stream, and boom,
You're losing this one.
That's ridiculous. I work with a bunch of goddamn children.
Oh, man.
And you know what else? Zach LaVine sucks.
Oh, whoa. Damn, Zach just trying to fit in. should fit out.
Well, maybe that's the
problem. Just fit out, Zach. They don't appreciate you fitting in.
You know, the best thing, and we'll get to Zach LaVine, and let's do it now because James is going to get here, and I don't want James to feel like we're on the same team with this. I actually like Zach LaVine, and I thought this would work a little bit better than it is. I hate that his best outing as a Sacramento King is a game that the Kings lost, and it wasn't against a particularly tough opponent, though I do think they won a couple coming out of the break. I think they beat Phoenix now that I think about it.
I think so. Phoenix and San Antonio.
Though they beat San Antonio, yeah. I don't know, man. I can't figure, like, I know people are, like, critical of Zach LaVine's defense, and that's fine. But I just thought it would work a little bit better offensively. I thought it would be a little bit kind of I don't want to say a smoother transition, but, like, offensively, I really just thought it would be a lateral move with him and De'Aaron. I thought the points would come different. I didn't think the points would happen in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't seem to be the case right now. And I can't put my finger on why. I don't know if it's the guys not having a connection. I don't know if it's the turnovers. I don't know if it's... I don't know what it is. But I think Zach LaVine is having a tough transition over here where you know, you don't really have a lot of time to make the transition work.
And I think what you just said is just what it is. And that's not sexy all the time. It's not definitive all the time. But the people tell, they use it in other respects. This ain't 2K.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just get this human and he plugs in to the lineup and everything. He's just the same stats and all this other stuff. There's a lot of things that go into it. And sometimes, you know, it's an easy transition. Sometimes it's seamless. You know, it feels like we see that a little bit with Golden State right now with Jimmy Butler.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not an issue for them.
Mm-hmm.
But all situations aren't the same. You know, Zach may be feeling certain pressures that Jimmy isn't. You talk about we talk about Jimmy Butler and what he's doing in Golden State and everything. And like I said, I was talking to Marcus Thompson. Like, Jimmy not even trying to shoot. And nobody seems to care over there. It's like, cool, don't shoot. Just play defense. Pass the ball around. Like, don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, not only is the team probably a little bit better, a little bit more talented, and fits a little bit better, but, yeah, pressure is really off of you.
Yeah.
When you don't have to shoot, they're like, he's not shooting. He's not looking to shoot. And everybody's like, cool. Like, it's good. Just take your time. Whereas Zach LaVine gets here, and he's trying not to step on any toes or anything. And people are like, well, you're the reason why things are going bad. And you're a ball stopper. And you know, don't come in here shooting like you did everywhere. It's a different situation.
Mm-hmm.
So the bottom line is he hasn't played well since he's been here in Sacramento. He hasn't been the offensive force or had the offensive impact that you would hope a guy like Zach LaVine has had.
Yeah.
And I think some of that has to do with circumstance and him just trying to find his footing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nobody's fault. Nobody's fault here in Sacramento or nothing like that. It just is what it is. Like, he's trying to find his footing, and he's having a tough time of it right now.
Shooting 43% from the field, 26% from three, which is the number I'm sure is just driving Kings fans crazy because he was shooting like 40% prior.
Yeah. I don't think he's ever shot any lower than like 38 or something like that. 36 maybe.
Yeah, and I mean, that's certainly not what he's shooting on the season. He was just shooting so well before getting to Sacramento that in the seven games I have statistics for here, the seven games he's played for Sacramento, 36.7 minutes per game, 7 3-point attempts per game, 26% from behind the arc. Again, 43% from three, 20 points per game so far for Zach LaVine. It's not the 20 points. It's the 26%.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think is maybe throwing Kings fans off, maybe frustrating Kings fans a little bit. I also think there's also a see I told you type thing with Zach LaVine. He was a player that you, because he's been linked to Sacramento for so long, for whatever reason, you had an opinion on him. It's not like you had to form an opinion, you know, during the Minnesota game. Like, oh, what do I think about this guy from Chicago? Like, no, you've heard about him for years. Like, mm-hmm. you've looked at his stat. You've looked at everything with Zach LaVine for like four straight years since the offer sheet was sent to him,
mm-hmm.
and everyone had an opinion, and it was either like, no, I like Zach LaVine, he's cool, or I hate him. You were either Kenny Caraway, or you were James Hamm.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't a lot of, you know, D-Los who were like, let's see how this plays out. I like it. I could see what might go wrong, but I like it. It was Kenny or James. And the people who feel like Kenny are more like, all right, let's see how this plays out. You know, there's some things to work through. The people who feel like James, like, I told you, he sucks. And it's like every missed shot, you go, you know, full Jim Parks on Twitter. And it's like, oh, this scumbag is out here shooting threes. So, like every missed shot is a vindication of something you already felt.
Right.
Like, no one is trying to figure out how they feel about Zach LaVine. You hate him, so when he misses a shot, you're like, see, I told you, he sucks. Mm-hmm. Scumbag.
Mm-hmm.
Or when he makes one, it's like, yeah, see, okay, see? Like let him get going here. I think the worst part is, there's not a lot of You know, you said on Sports Sunday last night, which I thought was funny because as you were talking, like I could, you're a very, you know, we'll figure it out. It's like you told Trista yesterday, or last week, you don't get worked up. It's like, calm down. Right. But that is, it's like, all right, like we got time. Let's don't make a lineup change. Mm-hmm. See this group together a little bit longer. Meanwhile, I'm like, we don't have much time left. Mm-hmm. The only thing that's extending their window of time is the Suns stink. Mm. The Suns are an internal disaster. And you can't fix that. You can fix stuff on the court. You can't fix the fact that I think Kevin Durant hates his life right now. Or hates being... I think the worst part is I don't think Kevin Durant hated being in Phoenix 2 weeks ago. But I think he does now. And that's tough. And now you have a group that's like... I mean, you probably got Book wondering what the hell's going on. You got Brad like, this team doesn't even want me. Mm-hmm. I'm starting now because they couldn't trade me. Hmm. And that is the... And then you've got Wemby. So that encompasses the other team. You've got Wemby out for the year. You know, De'Aaron disappeared the other night. You wonder how long he's going to play this season. And you think they might just fade away. That's the best thing that the best thing for the Kings' playoff hopes isn't even what they're doing. It's what the other two teams are doing.
Yeah.
And if for fun, you want to throw Dallas in there, you could probably make an argument that things could go bad for Dallas.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.